even in Spain and no cuddle. Some such custom were followed, and Spanish rancher had former own of Navajo sheep had continued it. However, the rancher owned tracts of mountain and valley with grass with every reason. Their sheep looked over this great demon and flock of 1,000 or 2 guarded by a shark who camped among them with his dog and took his prey, and lamb. Thus the rancher could always have some unused grass grown in readiness for his flock. Next, pasturage. The Navajo could not make such far-reaching plains as this. Even family had only a small flock and keep it with them all the time. Therefore, the whole family had to move back and forth between mountain and plains as they explored for new grazing land. They got into unknown country where they feared Spanish youth and perhaps unknown enemies. They want the sheep near them where they could be guided from coyote and whisked into a cannon, even enemy appear. So the flock was driven out to graze every day and brought back at night to a corral abroad near the house. The Navajo worked out the method of sheep herding, which they had found to these days. It meant that the grass near the Hogan was soon destroyed, but in these days no one saw danger in that. The people found white empty mesa all around them, and when the grass in one spot was worn and eaten away, they simply moved to another since sheep were already near the Hogan. They were cared for by the member of the family who stayed at home. That meant the woman and children, for the men were often away on their horse hunting and fighting. Perhaps that is one reason why Navajo sheep came to be woman proper, while horse belongs to the man. The two kinds of popular made the people independent in a way they had never known before. Now they could move as far as and as often as they wished, taking their food with them on the hoof, while their household goods were carried on the horseback. So the Navajo set out to find the green place and the spring over a large part of Arizona and New Mexico. Perhaps there was not too much green place ever then. For that part of the Southwest is a country of rocks and cliffs where nature would have only began to cover the valley with soil for growing things in the course of country. Many of the back rock might have been covered even under the sand rains of Navajo land, but the army of sheep whose first hoof beat was heard about 1700 were going to change all that. These same sheep would one day go far toward turning the Southwest into a desert and bring the Navajo to the verge of salvation. In these days, however, no one had thought much about care of the land. White and Navajo alike considered that grass grown by the well of same superbrine and of course could always grow joyfully, the Navajo moved out to use it. Now they were to be master of the new country. In the 100 years after Pueblo Rebellion, the Navajo spread out over the land which today is the reservation. It is a beautiful land with its red rock and open plain, but it is not easy to live in. Many parts of it were of no use for farming. Many others did not have water except when the summer rain left shallow pools, so the people could not settle anywhere, and even travel was sometimes difficult. Before the Navajo, when they first had left the northern canyon, north of them were the mountains of Colorado. This was good hunting country as they knew, for many Navajo had passed through it on their way south. They could not return there now. The youths were pushing south just as the Navajo had once done, and they were always ready to capture Navajo corn and Navajo women. During all the 1700s and 1800s, the Navajo were kept out of Colorado because of the Utes. To the east was the Rio Grande Valley, filled with Pablo Salmon and worthless with Spanish, no place for the people there. To the south, they could move out over the empty plain as far as Montpelier. That they did, as we could see. But Montpelier was their southern limit, for all the country beyond, below what we now call Montpelier, was full of patchy. So the Navajo did what early white settlers did later. They went west. They found, as the map shown, a white barren country broken by the two mountain range which run north and south. Today, as you dip over this desert, you never get lost, for you can always locate yourself by the two ranches. The eastern one, nearest the old Navajo land, is the Cheska Mountain. It is not high as Mount Go, but its white peak and rocky range were almost impassable to early people. Even the Navajo went around it in their first wandering. The western range, Black Mountain, a series of full top mesa, not so wide as the Cheska Peak. The Hopi had their village around the southern end of Black Mesa, even before the Navajo came to the southwest. The Navajo in their northern canyon had these two ranges to the west of them. At first, they did not try to cross, but spread over the open country south toward Montpelier. We can find the ruins of one of the old settlements now. Now on Big B Mesa, the Pueblo of Santa old people have recognized this as a real Navajo settlement. With ruins of flock stick hook on. There are no straightened walls building in the Pueblo style. It looks as though the Pueblo visitors had home or less they had become Navajo. Still, these new Navajo building walls, as they had learned from the visitor, they had hooked on a circled stone wall and wooden hoof. They made some paint pottery, but not as much as they had done in the north. The Navajo were shown what they